I've actually worked with Carl through our businesses with Dixon Clothing Group and Breakthrough for Business to help me set a structure in place to create systems in our business so we can offload things, so we can do things consistently. Because once you can delegate a task and show people a system the way they can do it, they can replicate what you do, and there's not as much of a burden on your shoulders to get stuff done, so to produce the outcome that you want. All right, so to be able to offload a task or to create a process, you need to go through the process so you can explain it almost to a five-year-old, is the way we think about it. You need to be so specific and so clear on what you need done and what's the outcome. All right, Carl has helped me with that, and I know that he's going to be able to help you guys with it as well. So if you all want to be upstanding and give Carl a big round of applause, that'd be much appreciated.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I love that I get to get a standing ovation before I've even said anything. That's awesome. Do more of that. So just want to kind of get a feel for who's in the room. How many of you have a team of people who you work with? How many have multiple people in your business, staff, etc.? Awesome, thank you. And how many not? How many it's just you, you're the other person in the business doing it alone? Awesome. Thank you, great. So I'm Carl Taylor, and today my goal is to help show you how to systemize, how to take the stuff that's in your head and turn it into a system that it's repeatable so you can give it to someone else and they can do it. How many like the sound of that, having other people doing this stuff? Awesome, thank you, yeah. Before I get into that, I firstly want to thank you. I want to say thank you to Stephen for inviting me back. It's great to be back and have a chance to present to a whole bunch of new faces and a few familiar faces. But a big thank you for you guys to be here. It's a Thursday. You're all business owners. You've got things you could be doing. But you're here in this room, which tells me you're committed. You're committed to growing your business, and you're committed to actually implementing, which you know has just been shown in all those amazing awards that you all received. So I want to say thank you for being here. Now, raise your hand, how many of you had seen me present before? How many of you in the room have seen me before? Awesome, thank you. So you guys might remember that I have two rules. How many rules? How many rules? Thank you. Two rules when I present. And the first rule is this. I might just move this a bit further forward. As long as everyone can still see it. So the first rule is this. What's it say? Was that 100% participation? What's it say? Thank you, 100% participation. See, I've got the privilege of having 2 hours with you guys. I've got an hour now, and then we've got another session a bit later. The afternoon session. I could stand here for 2 hours and just talk at you. You might take some nice, interesting notes. You might go, oh, that was good. Some of you might fall asleep, might go and check Facebook. And ultimately, nothing's going to happen in your business. Nothing is going to change. Yeah? Studies have shown when you participate, when you get involved, your retention for learning will go up to 80% increase. How many came here to actually learn something? More importantly, how many came here to implement something? Yeah, thank you. So that's why I need you guys to commit to 100% participation. It's not for me, it's for you. So how many commit to 100% participation? Awesome, thank you. Perfect. So that's the first rule. Second rule is this. What's it say? Maximum energy. Let's try that again. What's it say? Maximum energy. Awesome. Thank you. So, how many of you have ever experienced that moment when, you know, your body's in one place but your mind's somewhere else? How many of you ever experienced this? Yeah, like to me it's like driving the car, the drive down here from Sydney. You know, I was like my mind's in one place, my body's in another. You can continue to you could do something like you can not play the game and be present in this room, right? Or if you play the game with energy, if you're here, if you move your body differently, if you bring emotion into your body, into your language, and how you do things, it will bring you present. You can't have your mind thinking about what am I going to do for dinner and what time do I have to pick up the kids and did I answer that email, because you're here, you're focused. And when you mix maximum energy with 100% participation, you're present, you're learning, you're implementing, and ultimately your business is going to go like this. Is that cool? Awesome. So how many commit to both these rules? Fantastic. Thank you. Awesome. So I've been in business now, it might not look like it, but I've been in business now for almost 15 years. I started when I was 15, so I'm 29. And I started my very first business at age 15. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to be a web designer, web developer. And I was a one-man band. It was just me. I was a kid. I didn't know anything. And all I knew is I knew how to build websites, kind of. And started building them and selling them. Now, I was doing all of the things in the business, and I also had a casual job on the side, and I was doing my HSC at school. And ultimately, I had no systems in that business. But thankfully, when I finished high school, it was time I chose to leave that business, but I sold the business and moved on to another business. My next business, I bought an IT support company. So you might see a bit of a trend here. I'm a bit of a techie kind of guy. So I bought an IT support company, and this was the business that I first tried to hire staff. Interesting experience. How many of you have ever said, if only I could clone myself? Yeah, I used to say this constantly in my IT business because I'm a techie dude. And no matter what seemed to happen, no matter who I hired, I always seemed to have people who just couldn't do it quite like I could. They wouldn't think it through the same way I would. They wouldn't deliver the same level of service that I would. They wouldn't solve it where I could. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's frustrating, right? And so I said to my business coach at the time, I said, what do I do? This is really annoying. I can't be the only person in my business that can do this because we can't grow. And he said, Carl, you need systems. I thought, great, I'm a techie guy. Systems sounds really like easy and simple. Awesome, I'm going to build some systems. And then I went, how do I create systems? Where do I start? Can anyone relate to this? Yeah? So I started reading books about systems. I started using the internet as much as I could to learn about systems. I would talk to other people I knew who were in business. And surprisingly, I found that most of them did not have any systems. It's funny, as a young dude being in business, a lot of my friends were like 40, 50-year-olds. That's kind of who I knew, because they were the only people who could get business, who could talk on that level with me. But surprisingly, most of these guys, and maybe some of you are like this, and hopefully not because you're in this room, but they'd been doing what they were doing for like 30, 40 years, and there were still no systems in their business. So anyways, ultimately, we had some success, and we actually implemented some great systems in the business. So good, in fact, that in 2011, when I sold my IT support business, one of the key reasons that the competitor who bought us and paid what they did is because they wanted the systems we had. They wanted to plug them into their business. They wanted some of the technology, but they also wanted a lot of the systems we had. So why am I telling you this? Well, firstly, to let you know that everything I'm about to share with you is not just something I read in a book, although some of it might be a little bit, because I read it in a book to learn it myself. But more importantly, it's about how I do it, what I do. And I'm going to try and make it as practical as possible because I want 100% what? Thank you, 100% participation. So is that cool? If what I share with you is not just some theory stuff, but something you could actually just start implementing right here in the room, would that be okay? Awesome. Let's keep moving. So here's what I want you to do. You've all got, I believe, at least, hopefully you've got at least one blank sheet of paper left in your workbook somewhere. On that work sheet of paper, what I want you to do is take your book, I want you to flip it so it's landscape mode. And you're going to draw, you're going to divide your piece of paper. So this is your piece of paper. Don't draw the box. This is your piece of paper. You're going to divide it into four columns with a headline column, row. Yep. Draw that up. And what I want you to do is I want you to write up here, you're going to write in the first one the word sales. You're going to write sales in the first box. In the second box, you're going to write the word marketing. Marketing. So you've got sales, you've got marketing. The next box is delivery. You're going to write the word delivery. All right, so this is marketing, this is delivery. And in the final box, you're going to write the word admin. Admin. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you 60 seconds. And we'll get some music playing if we can. Thanks, Sally. I'm going to give you 60 seconds. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about, in each of these four areas of your business, what are all the things you're currently doing? And for you one-man banners, there's probably a lot of things that you're going to be writing down. What are all the things you're currently doing under sales that you would love to get someone else to do? What are you currently doing that you'd, and if you've already got someone doing some of this stuff, maybe they're not doing it to your quality yet. So what are all the things that people are, maybe you've tried to pass on, but they're not seeming to get it right? I want you to write down all of the areas in sales that you basically need systems for. All the areas under marketing, all the areas under delivery. So delivery is like how you deliver your product or service to your customers. How do you actually give the value to your clients? And then admin is things like finance, invoicing, paperwork, right? Just write them all down. I'm going to give you 60 seconds. Your time starts now. Go. How'd you go? How many have a lot of things on your list? Yeah? How many wish you could put even more things on the list? Anyone? Yeah, awesome. Yeah, absolutely. You want to think about that. Your goal as a business owner should be to do as little as possible. Seriously. It's how you make the most progress, having other people do the work for you, and so you can free yourself to be able to think. Because that's what really brings the biggest breakthroughs in your business and finances. Okay, so here's what I want you to do now. You've got a whole list of the things you're currently doing. But my guess is there is a bunch of stuff that you haven't even started doing that you know you could or should be doing. Yeah? So I'm going to give you, another 60 seconds for this, because I think this is important. I'm going to give you 60 seconds. And what I want you to now do is I want you to think about all the sales things, all the marketing things, all the delivery things, all the admin stuff that's not currently being done that you should be doing or you want to be doing. It might be like, if you're not currently calling up customers after you've delivered to kind of check in with them. How'd it go? How was the experience? If that was something that you'd want to do, put that on the list. It might be a delivery or it might be an admin or it might be sales or marketing. You've got to choose where you're going to put it under. So I'm going to give you 60 seconds to have a bit more music, and now you're going to start thinking about what are the things that you want to start doing. All the areas under these four columns that you want to start doing. Time starts now. Go. Anyone get some good ideas or anything they could add to their list from something that's shared? Anyone got some additions? Awesome, a few people. Fantastic. Thank you. So here's the thing. You've now just identified a whole bunch of areas in your business that you need some systems. How exciting is that? But you might be a little bit where I was when I was first told I needed systems and going, so how do I actually do that? That's all well and good, but how do I create a system? So before we get into the how, which we're going to in about 2 minutes, let's talk about why systems are so good. There's a bunch of different reasons. And I could get you to write them down or call them out. But the thing is, you innately you know why systems are so important. But let me give you the top three. Write these down. I think the biggest benefit of systems, at least for me, is you can get lower skilled staff to do it. which means you can save money. You can spend less on staff. Because if you can systemize it, then someone who doesn't have to have all the strategic knowledge can implement it. You know, what I do now is I have a company that offers unlimited tech and design tasks, right? From as little as $199. And the biggest question people ask me is they go, how do you do it at that price? The answer is systems. I couldn't have the staff members I have doing this stuff if I didn't have systems in place that they could just follow. Systems and training on how to use the systems. So the first one is lower skilled staff, which saves you a bunch of money. The second one is you don't have to do it anymore. I think that's probably a pretty cool reason to have systems. Once it's documented and systemized, you don't have to do it anymore. And the third is it adds value to your business. If you ever choose to sell your business, which I would highly encourage many of you to consider, systems can be the difference between somebody walking in and buying themselves a job versus them actually buying themselves a business, which can take you from 1 year's profits kind of valuation to 2.5 years profits in one go in the price point. Okay, so they're my top three. They're the two key reasons I think we should systemize. But enough about that, how do we actually do it? So, if we think about systems, there's kind of two areas that I think about, right? There's the bird's eye view, the kind of looking down. And then there's the eagle eye, close up. Eagles can go in closer. Their vision is magnified. So there's the bird's eye view where we're looking over the top, and the eagle eye is getting really close. Another way you could think about it is this is about kind of the what, and this is the how. So when you're creating your systems, you're going to need to be looking across four different quadrants and four different ways to systemize. Let's talk about the first one. The first one is this. The word is process. What's the word? Process. Processes. Who can tell me what a process is? Step by step, yeah. A way of doing something, yeah. What else? A checklist. Yeah, possibly. I would probably fall into a different spot. A sequence? Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Any other ideas? So a process, I like to think of it like, how many of you remember or did join the dot books, right? So to me, a process, did you ever like flip to the back of those books where the answers were there? It was like, here's how it all connects together. I used to do that all the time. And so I'd go to the back of the book and I'd see how it connects and go, and then when you come back and see all these dots, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I can start here and then I go here and then I go there. That's exactly what a process is. I like to think of it as it's the dot, join the dots of all these different things in your business. Start here, here's what's next, then this happens, then this happens, then this happens. Here's how they all need to be connected together. Okay? So I'm not going to go much deeper on it right now because in my next session, we're going to go practical on processes. But I want you to be aware of them. Okay, so it's about joining the dots of how it all connects together. The next type of thing is a policy. What's the word? A policy. Who can tell me what a policy is? What do you think a policy is? A way something has to be done, yep, thank you. Rules, yep. What else? Something you enforce. Yeah, so here's what I think. Here's how I think of it. A policy to me is something that revolves around decisions. If somebody needs to be able to make a decision about something, when this happens, what do we do? That, to me, is when a policy is needed. So, for example, in my business, right, we're offering these tasks, unlimited tasks, but not everything can be a task, right? We have a limitation on what a task is. And most of the time, my team would constantly come back to me and go, Carl, clients asked us to do this. Is that a task? And then, you know, a week later or a couple of days later, even an hour later, oh, Carl, this client's asked us to do this. Is that a task? And it was really frustrating because it was interrupting what I needed to do. And so it became very clear that we need to create a policy of what is a task, something that can be shared to clients but can also be used internally. And so now we have a clear policy. It's like nothing over 3 hours, maximum 3 hour time limit that you can spend on it to be a task. Also, it has to be on one of our supported platform lists. So if someone asks for us to do something in, say, Salesforce, which we don't support, sorry, it's not included, right? And it's also got to be something that's not on our not a task list. So we have another resource that is, here's what's not a task. So now the staff don't need to come and ask me. They need to kind of firstly go, is it on the supported platform list? Yes or no. Is it on the not a task list? Yes or no. Can I do it within 3 hours? Yes or no. Great, it's a task. Does this make sense? They now have a resource, there's a policy that is company-wide. It's not open to interpretation, it's here's what it is. They are able to make the decision themselves because they just reflect straight back to the policy. So here's what I want you to do. On your tables, I want you to brainstorm what are all the key areas in business, in your particular businesses, where decisions are made. What are the decision points in your business? What are the parts where people come to? Whether it's you, sometimes policies, you know, for those of you who are you're just the only person in your business right now, you might be going, why do I need a policy? Because it gives you something to come back to and go, yep, it's in policy, it's written down. And you can tell the customer, sorry, it's our policy. See, it's on paper. Okay, so what are all the decision points in your business? Internally, customer related, what are the decision points that may need a policy? Okay, as a table, brainstorm, come up with as much as you can. Can get some music, please. I'll tell you when to stop. Go. Okay, about 10 more seconds, guys, finishing up. Three, two, one, and pause. Pause. Thanks, guys. So I want to know, what did you come up with? Let's create a bit of a list. What are some decision points inside your business? Where are the points where policies may be required? Shout them out. Was that leave? Yeah. Leave. When are they allowed to take leave? How is it approved, etc.? Yeah, perfect. Was that privacy? Yeah. Privacy policy, absolutely. Yeah, totally. Confidentiality. Well, they can be different because, you know, you might have a privacy policy for clients, but then you have a non-disclosure or agreement with your staff and different things as well. So absolutely. Confidentiality. What else? What was that? Refunds, yeah. When is a refund given and when is it not? What are those policies? Yes, what else? Cancellations and bookings. Perfect. I heard another one. What was that? Payment terms? Yeah, absolutely. What are the ways you accept money? You know, do you accept checks? If not, you have a policy that sorry, we don't take checks, you know? Warranties, absolutely. What else? Turnaround times. Totally. Anyone have anything about like hiring and firing? What about that? What's your policy on when to hire and when to fire? Yeah, what else we got? Customer selection. So a policy of who is the type of clients we won't work with. It might be easy to say here's what we won't work with and here's who we will, but a will and a won't, I love that, absolutely. So it's like clients, it's our client policy. A friend of mine calls it the no dickhead policy, basically. I think it's great. It's like, absolutely. I told my team that. I said, guys, if you're ever treated like badly, We have a no dickhead policy, so just tell me straight away and we'll get rid of them. We'll just tell them, sorry, we're not the right fit for you. We'll cancel their subscription and it's fine. So, but having that policy so staff know that that exists, do you think that's empowering for them? Yeah, to know that we're interested in their best interests, that we're not telling them they have to put up with crap? Perfect. What else? Yes. What was that? Advice policies. Advice policies. Tell me a bit more about that. Are you like a financial advisor? Is that why? Yeah. What you can and can't say. Yeah, here's what you can say, here's what you can't say. Absolutely. It's all about the things that people would typically come to you or somebody in your business going, I don't know what to do, what should I do here? And you can just go, refer to the policy. And eventually you'll get them to the point where they don't even come to you anymore, they just go straight to the policy. Right? How much time do you think that could potentially save you every day? Yeah? A lot. A lot. So how many are going to go and implement some policies? Only like 7 of you? Seriously? Do you already have heaps of policies in your business already? Awesome. That's great. When does it start and finish of the policies? So tell me a bit more about that. The question was, when is the confusion set in? You mean in terms of if there's too many policies?
Yeah, well, I mean, once you start, sometimes you can just keep going. You can, like you said earlier, you feel like you want to clone yourself.
Yes.
You just feel like it can't be done as good as you'd like to be done all the time. So once you start with one thing, I guess you can start with one and eventually you scrub that one because it should be common knowledge. But then you get the new person in again, you've got to start. You got to have it there, but it just grows and grows and...
Yeah, so it sounds like for the recording, you know, the question really is, you know, where do you start? And he made a comment there of, well, do you start it? And then eventually when it's common knowledge, you just scrub it and get rid of it. Otherwise, you just build up a whole bunch of policies. Yeah, absolutely. You build up a whole bunch of policies. I would not get rid of it because, as you say, when you hire another staff member, it's not common knowledge to them. One of the things I love about technology and tools like Entreport and stuff, right, and software is because... I truly believe that machines work. When a machine screws up, it's a person's fault. The coder screwed up, the person who'd entered the data screwed up, somebody, a person, screwed up. The computer did what it was supposed to do. So for me, you know, I want to have it as anything automated as much as possible. I don't want to rely on, and where I'm going with that, this is, if it became common knowledge and you go, oh, well, the staff will just train it, I don't want to rely on a person remembering that they need to tell them to do that. I want to go, follow the steps. Tell them about this. Or you don't know what to do, refer to the policy. And we'll talk about where do you store this so that when there's that many, how do people find it? I would not be storing it as pieces of paper. The days of having an actual policies and procedures manual that's physical is... Write this down. A key thing about a system that is not followed is worthless. Having a system in a document that no one knows is there or ever looks at is a complete waste of your time, waste of just an absolute waste. It doesn't work. So you need to get buy-in from your staff. You need to find out what are they going to look at? Where are they going to be? What makes it easy for them to access? Because if they're not prepared to follow the system, if you've mapped out this amazing system and none of your staff will follow it or they're skipping one step, then you need to look at how do we change the system? Not how do you change the staff, how do we change the system so that they'll do it? Because it is stupid if they just go, oh, well, this is how we're supposed to do it, but here's how we'll do it. And I know that happens because I remember when I used to work at Hoyts, right, as a casual job. And half the time it was like, here's the proper policies we're supposed to do, but here's how we actually all do it. That's how the training was done. That's a broken system. Yeah? If that's happening, you have broken systems. But great question. So... I want you to pick one of all the things you kind of wrote down and think about in your business. And if you've already got a whole bunch of policies and you don't feel there's an extra one to add, cool. But I want you to pick one. What is one policy that you're going to implement after this event? What are you going to go into your business? What is the very first policy that you're going to put in place? Okay? Take 10 seconds. Think about it. Don't think about it too hard. Just literally the first one that you kind of go, oh, maybe that one, that's the one. That's the one you're going to do. And if you're not sure, think about what's the question people ask you the most about. For me, it was that, what's a task? Oh, we need to get a policy. I can't keep answering this question over and over again. Okay? Made that decision. We good? Everyone made the decision of what policy they're going to implement? I'm not seeing many hands go up. How many have got the thing? How many not? All right, I see a few hands not going up. Anyone not made a decision? No? Okay, so we've all got a policy. Great. Let's go back to a drawing. So the processes and policies is all about having your bird's eye view. This is that high level. This is about knowing what they need to do. It's not about how, it's about what. What do we do here? When this happens, what do I do? What do I do next? Process is about kind of here's where I am, what do I do next? Policy is about I've got to this point, what do I do? Is that clear? So let's talk about the how. How do we actually show these people how to do it? So what we need to have are, and I know I've spelt it wrong, I always do, there's one less E, I think, but it's a procedure. What is it? You need procedures. Procedures. And so how many of you have those documented procedures in your business already? Whether they're being used or not, you've got documented procedures? Awesome, thank you. As I said before, if it's not being used, it's completely worthless. So store it somewhere that's easy. It's searchable. So for me personally, I use a combination of Google Sites, right? Because I use Google Apps to run my business. So we use Google Sites, which is like this, like a bit of a basic web kind of structure. And that's where I store a whole bunch of procedures in there. And it's got a search capability. They can just type in, let's say they're searching how to do something in Entreport. They type in Entreport, and it's going to bring up all the procedures we have related to Entreport. Right? I also utilize a WordPress site that is locked off. It's not for the general public use. It's only for the internal staff. And that's where we use all our training. So there are procedures in there, but that's more the way I do my business is my staff go through a accreditation of each platform that we support. We have a whole in-depth training, and that's stored in the WordPress site. So the key reasons that, one, they're online because I need them to be accessible from anywhere. Two, it needs to be searchable. They need to be able to just put in a simple keyword. They don't need to know specifically what they're looking for. They need to kind of be like, for a policy, they're like, refunds. And when they type in refunds, it'll be like, here's the refund policy, and here's how to process the refund as a procedure. So they can quickly read the policy. Cool. All right, I now need to use my process to actually process the procedure to actually run the refund. Does that make sense? So make sure you're storing it somewhere. There's a bunch of other tools out there. There's things like Screen Steps, which allows you to create, you know, systems. There's another one called Suite Process. There's a bunch of different online. If you search how do you do system, like procedure kind of online, you'll find a bunch of tools you can use. Google Sites is free or part of your Google Apps account. Anyway. So here's what I want to do with the procedure. Let's actually build a procedure right now. So who has a procedure in your business that you would like to actually create? Who has something in your business you would like to create a procedure for? And we'll do it as a whole group. We'll build out a basic version of this procedure. Shout it out to me. Pricing. So tell me about this pricing procedure. What do you mean? So instead of a pricing policy, what's the, give me some context.
A procedure where you would ask them how many transactions they would be doing, you know, just like do an interview on how big their business is.
Kind of quoted, is that what you mean? Like a quoting procedure?
Perfect. Great. Okay, so here's how you create, well, here's how I create systems. I ask myself questions. And the way it's laid out on the document is it starts with this. What are we doing? First question, what are we doing? And so what are we doing? Well, we are providing a quote to a prospect. Providing a quote to a prospect. So you sit down and you go, okay, what are we doing? We're providing a quote to a prospect. Perfect. So, next question is, why? Why are we doing this? One of the biggest things I learned when it came to training staff and building systems, if they don't have the context, If they just have the here's what to do, and they don't have the context of why we're doing it, how does it fit into the bigger thing, why, you get less buy-in, and half the time you get a really crappy result, especially in what we do. If they don't get the bigger picture, they just don't really understand. They're like, oh, we do this. It's like, well, why do we do it? Oh, no, we just because the procedure says to. Yeah, so it's really important to make sure that you have a good reason why, to explain to them, explain how the business works. Why do we do this? Well, because it makes us more money, or it helps them decide whether they want to work. Like, what is the reason why they are following this procedure? So providing a quote to a prospect, what's the reason why?
So that there's a level playing field and you've got more control over your cash flow and all that sort of stuff.
That's for the business. Will a customer not sign up to you? So what's your business? Maybe this will help me. You're a bookkeeper. Great. So they won't do business with you unless they know the price, right? So why are we providing a quote? Well, because we want to show, so it might be show value and help make decision. We want to be able to show our value in the quoting process. I'm just kind of projecting there, that's for me. If I was creating a quote, I wouldn't want it to just be here's the price, it's demonstrate the value as well. And then why are we doing it? To help them, the client, make the decision as to whether we're the right fit for them. Yeah? Is this making sense so far? Is this helpful? Awesome. So what are we doing? Why are we doing it? The next question is, who? Who does this? And not the name of the person, but what's the name of the role? Who does this? The salesperson? Perfect. So the salesperson. Why do you think it's important for when they're looking at a procedure to know who does this? Whether it's relevant to them, whether if they're looking at this and they're about to do it and that they're not a salesperson, do you think that might make them go, oh, maybe I should talk to someone before I just go and do this? Because if someone wasn't a salesperson possibly providing a quote, could that potentially damage your business? So it's an extra check to kind of go, hey, are you this person? Or if you're someone else who, if you're letting the other staff see all the different roles, it's kind of go, hey, look, this person does this, and they might start to go, oh, I want to be that person. I want to do that stuff. That's who I need to be in the business to do it. Yeah? So they're the simple ones. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? And who does it? And that's what I literally have at the top of all my systems. It's what are we doing? Why are we doing it? Who does this? The next one is how? What are the steps? What is the step-by-step that they do? What are the actions they take? Now, when it comes to the how, there's a bunch of different ways you can create systems. If it's something you do on a computer, I highly recommend that you just grab a tool called, I use Screencast-O-Matic. Basically, it allows you to record the computer screen. How many of you, have you ever talked about Jing or things like that? So right, there's tools out there, Jing, Snagit, I use Screencast-O-Matic. There's a bunch of different tools you can use. Record your computer screen and it, you know, talk at it and show what to do. Screencast, and then there's like a hyphen, O hyphen, Matic. It's free, and then if you want to buy the paid version that gives you some extra features and stuff, it's like $15 a year. It's ridiculously cheap. And the reason I got it is I used to use Jing and Snagit and stuff, and I had problems on my computer, and I found this other one that I don't have problems with, and it's cheaper. So I love it. So Screencast-O-Matic, anything you're doing on a computer, all the admin-y type stuff, all that things, or if you're like me and you do things on computers, all your training should be videos. And then underneath the video, especially if it's a long video, if it's like a 5-minute video, two to 5-minute video, they can watch the video again. If we're talking hour-long breakdown of how to do this, give them the video. But let me ask you this. If you were trying to do something and you had to sit through an hour-long video to do it, if you've watched the video once, would you bother to watch the video again? So what do you really need? You just need kind of bullets. Just to kind of, I remember, that's what I need to do next. If you just give them the video, they'll then rely on this, and they'll probably skip a step, And that's the problem. You've got to make it easy for everyone to use. As I said, a system not followed is a system that's broken. So they watched the video the first time, now I've got the context and I get it. Next time I'm going to do it, I just need to follow my bullet points. Right? So you're going to use things like video. You're going to have bullets. Do this, then do this. Yeah? 1, 2, 3. Click here. Use pictures. So you can take photos. You can create screenshots. So on a computer, you can create like a photo of what the button to click on. In my IT business, we went to the level of, is there like a, basically when we had like our closing, how to close up the shop for the end of the day, let's pretend there was a light switch here. We had a photo of the light switch, and then when we said turn off XYZ lights, it would then, on that photo, there was a circle around which switch on, because there were three switches on the light thing, circle on the which one did it with an arrow that said this one. Like super, like, this is the switch, right? Why do we do it? Well, some people, this is so you don't have to train. You're removing the training where you can kind of say, hey, you're going to close up, first time closing. They're not going to get it wrong. They just follow it. So use screenshots, use pictures, videos, bullets. You can even have other things that are like more interactive. So a friend of mine, he even goes to the point of he's got a map, embedded Google Maps, that says like, so it's, I think his is like how to do the banking. And it's like, here's the map that shows you how to get to the bank walking from where we are. Now you don't have to go to that level if it's not relevant. But these are the resources you use. This is how you get it consumed and used and followed. Think about what we're doing, why we're doing it, who does it, and then you just break it down. And choose the thing that is easiest for you. For me, it's usually easier for me, especially if it's on a computer, easiest for me to do it and just explain what I'm doing as I'm doing it, and I've just created the training video. I then give it to one of my team members. It's like, watch this video, and then break it into bullet steps to go underneath the video. Right? That's how I do most of mine. Now, you might not do stuff on the computers. Maybe you're like, oh, I go out on site and we're like an electrician or something. We do these things. You can still record videos. You got iPhones, you got video cameras. Your phone surely has a video camera. Could you easily just whip, like you're doing something, you could grab a video of what you're doing and explain what you're doing as you do it. Yeah? I love video because it's the fastest and usually the easy, and people like to consume it that way too. But as I said, if you have a video and it's not a short video, you've got to have bullets underneath it as well. The more visual, the better. Most people don't like just text. Is this helpful? Awesome. So just at your tables, talk about what did you notice, what did you realize, what do you want to share? Talk about it at table. I'll give you 10 seconds. Time's up, go. And pause. Thanks, guys. Thank you. So who wants to share? What's some of the things you learned, noticed, realized? Who wants to share?
Yes. Just keep it really simple. It doesn't have to be super, it doesn't have to be fantastic. It can be just a handwritten note, as long as it works.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be complex. It can be simple, really super simple to share it. Absolutely. I don't know about a handwritten note, unless you've taken a photo of it and you're still saving that, but like handwritten notes to me would get lost somewhere. Yeah, absolutely. Do whatever is easiest for you. Because you've got to remember, the only people who see this is internal. Like, I've done video training videos where I've had a whiteboard for my staff, right? I've used the webcam on my laptop because I couldn't be bothered getting all, like, if I'm doing something for clients, I would have my proper camera, my lights, everything set up. But for this, all I did is I put my laptop, I put my laptop on something, I put a chair on my table, put the laptop on the chair, had my whiteboard here, and the lighting's pretty crappy. I didn't put in an extra microphone, and I just started drawing and doing kind of what I do for you guys, for my staff on the whiteboard to do a training video that's internal. Now, is it crappy quality? Yeah, but does it serve the job? Is it better having that than me just not doing it at all? Do what's easiest for you, and then find ways to get it into the types of consumable ways for your staff. Yeah? Awesome. Thanks for sharing. Yes.
Carl, I was going to ask you, we use Dropbox at the moment to upload set up and all our computers, which is great because the girls don't need to put passwords in or anything to get in, because I don't want them to have access from outside of the business. Now, this one that you mentioned, the Google's one, do they have to, can they access that from anywhere? Like, I wouldn't like my staff to access that from home. It's my intellectual property. So would you be able to, is there a way of working that?
I'm going to say probably yes. So the question was, Google Sites, she's currently using Dropbox, can, and that is restricted only to the computers in the office, I'm guessing, and she doesn't want people to be able to log in. Technically, Dropbox, if they've got a login, they could access that anywhere. But Google Sites is a web-based platform. It would work off their Google, their business Google logins. Can you restrict it via onto a specific device? I'm going to say probably yes. I mean, enterprises use it all the time. I don't do that. You can talk to a guy called Peter Moriarty, who all he does is Google stuff. His IT company, that's all they do. He'd be able to give you a definite answer. My guess is yes. So I'd say you can. It'd just be restricting it to specific device IP addresses is what you'd be doing. Yeah. Any other shares, learnings, notices? Takes away a lot of pain points. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, up the back. The why. Yeah. Seriously, if it's the only thing you kind of took away, making sure all of your training and resources, you don't just say, here's what we do, give them the context of why we do it this way. Because it gives them a deeper understanding. They're not just following it and being a monkey. Yes, we want it to be doable by monkeys, but to make that possible, we need to give them the deeper context of why. Awesome. All right, so final thing. We've talked about three bits here. You've got processes and policies, which is all about the what. We've got the how, though. So we've got procedures, which are great, and you're going to have a lot of them. You're going to have a lot of probably all these things, and that's okay. But start with one or two. Just start. The final P is what I call packages. And the only reason I call it packages, to be honest, is because all the others were P and I wanted it to work. Otherwise, I would have said tools, templates, right? So these packages, these are the resources you provide that help them do this. This could be software, right? This could be a checklist. It's the kind of thing that it could be a template. It could be an email script. It could be a phone script. It's the resources that back up and they can utilize as part of those procedures. Right, so if you're using a tool like Ontraport, well, that's one of the tools or resources. Your checklists, your templates, your anything you can think of that would be a resource that would take the thinking out of it that they can just copy and paste. Canned responses, right? So we use a lot of those so that when the clients go through and they go, oh, it's not a task. Now, a lot of my staff still like to make it their own and reply back to say, hey, sorry, we can't do it in their own language, but there is a canned response that they can just literally select in our software where they go, this, it's not a task, and it pre-fills the email with merges in their name, puts in, and then there's just little brackets, it's like, explain reason why, refer to which of the bit, you know, what's the reason it doesn't fit, so it's gonna take over 3 hours, or it's this, it falls under admin and transcription type stuff on our not a task list, right? So it just fills in and gives them the template that's easy for them to do. They don't have to sit there and go, oh, I need to tell them, and they could go, sorry, it's not on our task list. That could be how they would respond without having a canned response. So there's a line. The only thing before I finish up here, there's a line that you need to be careful of. You want to be really detailed when you get into the how bit of what they should do. But you don't want to be so detailed to the point that your staff, you've got to know the types of people who are doing this role, right? There are certain people, they're detail-oriented, they're going to want the, what do I say here? But there's other people for certain roles where it's like they need to have fluid ability to change it up a bit. So don't micromanage. Don't come to the point where you're telling them, here's how it's done and this is the only way. If their type of personality, the personality of the person who would do that role, requires a bit of creativity and thinking. Sales, for example, if you give word-for-word sales scripts to a salesman, a good salesman, they're going to get pissed off and annoyed. You can give them a framework and you can give them the script as here's an example, but if you say to them, you have to follow the script word for word, you will lose that salesperson. So you've got to know the personality of the type of person who's going to do that role to know how kind of follow this it should be. And I can't give you a rule of thumb of how to do it. It's more something you need to understand, as I said, what those types of people are like. So the only final question is kind of probably where do you start? Here's all the things you do, where do you start? I would start with whatever would give you the biggest win in your business. What is the thing that is taking up the most time? Or the thing where you're, like for me, as I said, it was that constant bombardment from my staff going, what do we do here, what do we do here, what do we do here? So that was obvious, that's where I need to focus on first. Just start on one, the thing that would give the biggest value to your business, either in giving you time back or in making you more money, and do that. And I'm not saying you do all of these at once. Again, start, if the process is all you need, do the process first. If a policy is all you need, just do the policy. If a procedure would help, do the procedure. Or if they don't need the procedure, they just need the package. They need the thing that's like, they just fill it in, the form. Give them that. All right, well, that's it for me, unless you want to do questions. And then, yeah, in the next session, we're going to get a little more practical, a little more fun, because it is the afternoon, and I know I'll be standing in between your way and food and possibly alcohol. So.
Definitely alcohol. Right, a round of applause for Carl, guys. Thank you. All right, any questions for Carl before he walks off stage for this little bit? Because we are going to come back and do some practical stuff. Any questions around, especially these four quadrants, Matt?
Maybe a little bit about the measurement of the procedures and the process that you put in place. So it's one thing to, you know, spit it out there and train, but then to make sure it is actually being implemented and how you would know if it wasn't.
Yes.
Yeah, so the question for the recording is, how do you measure a procedure in particular, whether it's being used?
Has the line escaped? That's a good one.
The line escaped? Oh, right, yeah.
Got the zoo.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's going to depend very much on what is the result of this procedure and what are your KPIs. So it's going to be hard for me to say, because I'm not a zoo, right, and to say exactly here's how you'd measure it. I would say this is where you have structures and team leaders and people who their job is to kind of, part of their role description is you need to make sure that these procedures are being followed. I often, every Monday, I do a team meeting with my staff. And there's a certain section in our meeting where I go, great, guys, where are you most stuck? That's my question. I go, where are you most stuck? What gets you tripped up the most? What in the systems, where you, what's confusing? And usually that outlines a section that's like, I can go, oh, that's in that such and such policy, or that's in that process. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that. So that's a fault. I take on that and go, oh, there's a fault in my training, or that it's not clear enough that it's there. But it's really asking for feedback. And if they're not doing it properly, as I said, that's proof that it's not working. But figure out what are your KPIs. So another KPI for us is customer satisfaction. After every task we resolve for a client, people can mark it as awesome, just okay, or really bad. And that records back. And so at the moment, we've never had a single really bad or even just okay. Every response has been awesome, which is awesome. But I'm going to know when I start seeing just okay or really bad, I can pull out that task, I can see what it was, I can be like, did you follow the process? Why, if you did, why did it go wrong? And that shows where the system needs to be improved. So feedback, constant feedback with the staff is important.
Yeah. And just a little bit on my experience with that as well, because I did that with the factory in Fiji. When I wasn't clear on what the outcome looked like, so any procedure you create has to have a clear outcome. It has to look like this. For this to be a successful task, the outcome has to look like this. If it doesn't look like this, and it looks like this, this is not successful application of that task or that process. If it's got three sleeves, if we're sewing a shirt together, no. If it's got two in the right spot, we're in good shape. But be very, very clear, especially as you work your way through a process, what the outcomes are.
And that's where pictures and things like that would be great. It's like a tick, cross on the three sleeves and two sleeves.
Any more? Yes, Claire.
Well, how do we help let staff know about the policies? Like, how do you communicate that to them?
How do you currently communicate to your
staff?
Well,
we have meetings, and if something falls down or we get a bad result, then we do it. But is there a way of with technology of keeping it all in the one spot or having access to for new stuff that are coming along or new training? And
yeah, so the question is, how do you notify staff of policies and keep them up to date? So you could totally use a tool like Entreport or Infusionsoft, ActiveCampaign, any of those email marketing tools, right, that would allow you to, you could just have a list or contact tags in Entreport of staff, and you could just send them an email to say, hey, there's been an update to the policy. Here's the link. Team meetings is how I do it, and it comes down to training and just making sure that they know. And you'll, again, we'll talk a bit more in process, which might help you with that too.
I was going to say too, with processes as well, once your team gets automated in knowing that everything has to have a process behind it, it's not a question of whether it does or not. It's a matter of, has it been done yet? So if you can't find it, you then need to start a list of procedures that you need to document. So it's not even, there's no ambiguity about, is there actually something I can follow? It's, I go in there and I look for it. We use Sweet Process. If it's not in Sweet Process, we need to then start a list of, we then have got a list of things that need to be documented in Sweet Process.
It's just whatever you use to communicate to your staff. I use Slack. All my staff are in this tool called Slack, which is a chat program. We have a channel inside Slack that is just called training, and basically every new training video that ever gets thing automatically gets posted in there. Anytime there's a new update, we just kind of say, hey, new policy here, and they know because it's like unread messages, like an inbox. So you could look at what's known as a learning management system. That's what we use, and I know a lot of franchises use, where literally the staff or the whoever has to do it, they go through, they watch the video or whatever, they might have to answer some questions and then tick off, that they, pass the questions to know that they've actually watched the video and understood the procedure, and they mark off yes. And so it's like almost going through a course, like it is an online course. It's called a learning management system, an LMS. There's a bunch of different tools that can do that.
I just thought I'd share with us that in the beginning when we didn't have these processes and we had all those lectures last, the first time we created the business for procedures, yep. I took advice and I got my new staff member to set up all the policies and procedures in the thing. So she would have a clipboard, and every time we taught her something, she would put, I told her, you need to make a procedure and put it in Dropbox. And then the next staff member came along and we'd give her that procedure and said, if you can tweak that, go for it. So I've never done them, it's been the staff.
Yeah.
And what we've done recently or for a while now is I've got a Facebook group page for my staff, and I pay them an extra 10 minutes lunch time, so they have 40 minutes 40 minutes lunch time, which is paid for, and 10 minutes of that is allocated for going on a Facebook page every day. So if there's a new policy or anything or something happened that I'm not happy with, take a photo, say this isn't cool or whatever, and they have to all like it, whether they like it or not, and or comment. And we've had absolute success with that, because they've got the opportunity to ask questions right there and then and interact, and we keep it very positive as well. So, you know, not just rules and regulations, but it's been very successful for me.
I've got a really good HR system that's got an employee self-service part of it, where you can send policies, procedures, and get electronic sign-off to say that you start read and understood policies and all sorts of things too. So it's a really good way to be able to keep records of that.
One of the dangers in this process is that you don't just want people to tick it and just skim over it and say, yep, I've seen it. They need to live it. We need to produce an outcome. And Carl's going to step you through that in the next session, but it's not something that they've just got to say, yeah, I've seen it. That's not enough. That's entry-level application of what we're trying to do. They need to live it and breathe it and actually deliver on it.
Yeah.
So,
because if they're just doing the tick-off, that's how people end up like I was at Hoyts, where it's like, there's a policy, here's how we do it, and we've ticked off that we do it, but here's how we really do it. That's what happens.
Training. Training's a good one as well. Yeah. Matt, then Mark, then we'll go and have a break.
Just going back to maybe the first page of that you had, what you, you know, what would require a policy or procedure.
Oh, yeah.
We had all those steps, and then you add in work health safety, and you know, there's a million things in that. How would you stay on top of all that? Like, you can't remember everything about everything. So is there, have you come up with something that helps?
So this is again where, as your team, you would have people who are in charge of that. Because that's the thing, as a CEO or entrepreneur, whatever you want to call yourself, you can't be across everything. You've got to find people smarter than you, and you just got to delegate. So I recently just promoted one of my staff, and she's now become the technical team leader. And she is the person who enforces the policy. She points the staff when they go, I don't know what to do. She's the one that says, hey, did you check the policy? And it's just, she needs to be across that. And she needs to tell me when it's like, hey, we're missing training on this. She's the person in charge to say, all right, Carl, I need to create training on this topic. So you just need to give people, break it up and go, you're in charge of OHS. You're in charge of XYZ.
Just to get a guide in the room, as entrepreneurs, who's good at details? Put your hand up if you think you're good at details. You're a details person. Yep. Who's not good at details? Yep. Me, I'm not. I'm terrible. Karen knows that because she checks my spelling, everything I do. You didn't put an apostrophe there. So if you're not good at details, and especially with, say, a zoo or Sparkies, if you've got people on the road, you would even break the policies into segments and say you're the head of that little part of it and you're the head of that little part of it. So they don't need to know everything about everything either, but they're in charge of that. And then they need to check in with you. Because I'm not a details person, I need those people to report to me from the different areas of what's compliant and what's not, what processes we've got. Mark, and then we'll go to a break.
Just the process and the procedures just sounds really the same to me. Mm-hmm. How we talk about, the dot to dot, and then when we talk about the procedures, and I know you'll go to it,
yeah.
Is that something that...
So yeah, the next session, I was waiting to see if there's a question there. I think the question is, what's the difference between a process and a procedure? And in the next session, if you aren't clear by the end of that session, then make sure you ask me, but you should be clear by the end of that.